Also turn to Philippians chapter 3. To add to what has been presented, and in Philippians 3, we won't look at every phrase of every verse, but let's begin reading at verse 7. We'll remember in the context that the Apostle Paul has just before this verse listed a variety of reasons for him to have confidence in the flesh, naturally speaking. And he says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." I had some thoughts as we were sitting quietly, and when John began to share some thoughts from 2 Kings, it seemed there was a point of connection, and perhaps we can just consider this point, that the woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 made some observations that here was a man, Elisha, a holy man of God, who was worthy of a place in their home, worthy of a place with them. And as we realize, there was not sort of a manual or a list of prescripted things. When you want to make a place for a holy man of God, make sure that you have these items in the room. As we can see in the passage, what happened was she made the observation that here was a man who deserved a place with her and her family. At the time, just her and her husband. And so she thought, if we might say it this way, she thought, well, what would be the proper thing to put such a man at ease? What would be a place where he would feel comfortable so that when he turns in to our home, that it would be a place where he's at home, a place where he feels comfortable? And we have the lessons that have come out in these items of furniture. And added to that, we might say that she made the observation, these would be the kinds of things that would be appropriate. These are the kinds of things that would honor this man, that would make him feel at ease, that would give him a place of comfort, a place of rest, to make him feel that we really appreciate his presence with us. And so she put together this list, if we might say. She wisely and intelligently thought, well, what would be the right things, the right kinds of furniture? And we have those things that are presented to us. And I would like to begin adding some other thoughts to this by looking at verses 15 and 16, which suggest to us that there is this approach that we can take when we feel uncertain about just how we can most honor the Lord. He says, the middle of the verse, "If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." And I would like to present this thought that when we want to honor the Lord, when we want to respond to the scriptures that we have. We've been sharing together many wonderful thoughts and principles and observations and applications. And when we leave here, we say, the Lord is worthy to be honored. The Lord is worthy to have a place of comfort. He is worthy to have us expecting His presence and providing the conditions, responding to His presence with us in a way that He would be at rest. What would be the best way to do that? And it's not up to us. We have the Scriptures to guide us. But as we even saw in our day today, we might realize that there are occasions where we say, I just don't quite know how to put this or that into practice. We had various discussions about the kinds of meetings, the times that we're coming together as a local representation of the Church of God. And when we search the Scriptures, we have examples of people coming together. And we must admit that there is very little about some of the kinds of meetings. For example, the breaking of bread. Let's find the chapter which lists the kinds of things that should be part of the breaking of bread. We can't find that chapter. We can't find where it says, make sure you include this, make sure you include that. The Lord Jesus said, here are these emblems. Do this in remembrance of me. And we say, well, that is a worthy goal. Let us honor the Lord Jesus. Let us make much of Him. Let us respond to that invitation and do something that is a remembrance of Him. Because here is exactly what He said we could do. Well, how should we best do that? There are guidelines of the Scriptures to a point. And then we are left with also this verse. Let us have this mind. And if, as we have this mind, things are not quite adjusted, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. With the thought being that we are permitted to seek the Lord as to just what would be the best way to put into practice the principles that are given to us. And where there is a silence of Scripture on precisely what takes place, what is the best time, how long should it be, should this happen or that happen, we have the Scriptures which say, could I put it in these terms, do what seems to honor the Lord. Do what honors the Lord. And if it's not quite right, the Lord will reveal even this to you. This is the attitude of somebody who says, I love the Lord Jesus. I want to make much of Him. Just as in a side application or a side illustration of this point, here was Apollos in the book of Acts. We mentioned that occasion a little bit earlier today, who was used mightily by the Lord, but with imperfect knowledge. And the Lord was not condemning him for his imperfect knowledge, but helped to reveal what was imperfect so that he could be used even more mightily by the Lord. Now, we might look back on our day together. We might walk out the door. We might drive home. And we might say, there were some really helpful discussions at various times. And in other areas, I'm just not sure I was following exactly what was said. In fact, in some areas, maybe somebody might say to themselves, I don't know if I quite saw it quite the same way. And the opportunity is, we love the Lord Jesus. Let us make much of Him. He is the one, as we back up then and look at what brought Paul to this point to say such verses like this. He is the one who says, I would suffer the loss of everything for the Lord Jesus. I have suffered the loss of all things, back in verse 8. And the things that I've lost, the things that would have been gained to me, I actually see them differently now. They're garbage. They're worthless. They're less than worthless. You couldn't even give them away. They have no value in the presence of God.